faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
No, it's Superman.
It was like a moment frozen in time, frozen in slow motion, an onrushing truck. A young boy on a skateboard. But it wasn't in slow motion, it was real. And unless the truck stopped or the boy swerved, the inevitable would happen.
Watch out!
Get him! Stop! 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 Look out!
Suddenly, the boy fell from the skateboard right in the path of the oncoming truck. I zoomed downward into the street, stopped the truck with my right hand, picked the boy up in my left, and headed for the sky.
Superman!
He saved him!
Look at them go!
I came down in a quiet wooded area a few miles north of Metropolis. The boy had a nasty bruise on his knee, and we bathed it in the cool water of a clear stream. What's your name?
Danny, and you're Superman.
How long have you been practicing the skateboard, Danny?
Danny, meet Superman. Boy, wait till the gang hears this.
You know, that could have been a nasty accident.
I sure wish I had the kind of strength you have.
And city streets aren't exactly the place for skateboarding, are they?
Do you have special exercises you do? I mean, like push-ups and all that?
You're not listening to a word, are you?
Sure I am. You come from another planet, right?
Tell you what, Danny, if I answer your questions, will you answer mine?
Deal. Me first. What planet were you born on?
Krypton.
Where's that?
Far away, Danny. Very far away. In another galaxy. You know what a light year is?
Sure. Light travels 186,000 miles a second. So multiply the number of seconds in a whole year by 186,000, and that's a light year.
Good, Danny. Now you can appreciate the distance. Krypton was many, many light years away from Earth. It revolved about a giant red sun and was inhabited by a race of highly intelligent beings. Hundreds of years before, they had solved the problems of space travel, established nuclear energy plants, tamed all the powers of nature, except one. It was my father, Jor-El, one of Krypton's leading scientists, who knew what this power was, and that it was to bring disaster to Krypton.
I tell you, we must evacuate our people to another planet.
Because you hear rumblings in the ground? Don't be ridiculous, Jor-El.
These are more than mere rumblings. There are powers beneath our planet's shell that are beyond our comprehension. Within a year, Krypton will explode like a gigantic bomb.
Jor-El, your imagination's running amok.
Impossible.
Sheer nonsense.
The man's insane.
I was just a small tyke at that time, but I can still hear my mother's voice singing lullabies, crooning the ancient folk songs of Krypton.
Jor-El?
They refuse to listen, Lara. Won't hear a word.
They've had it too good. They're fat, smug, and complacent.
And they'll be destroyed.
And we along with them.
Unless we get out while there's still time.
But how?
I'll build a spaceship for us and our son.
He's so little, Jor-El. So small to die. Can you build this spaceship?
I can try. I've been studying a small planet in another galaxy. Its people, whom we've been listening to on our interstellar radios, call it Earth. It is a bright new sun, a sun that could mean new strength.
For months, my father labored on the spaceship, drawing plans, collecting materials, revising, improving. In time, he had brought forth a small, workable model, a miniature spacecraft. He was working toward a larger one, large enough for the whole family, when the day of disaster came. As my father had predicted, Krypton had become one gigantic bomb. Tremors shook the Earth, huge cracks riffled the surface, gaping holes suddenly yawned. Oceans roared and surged landward. Giant buildings toppled like matchsticks. Great transit tubes reared skyward, twisting, bending. Explosions threw debris into the sky for hundreds of miles. Krypton was dying.
Lara! Lara!
Over here, Jor-El.
Get our son. We've got to make it to the launch pad. Lara, please, do as I say, darling.
Yes, Jor-El.
At the launch pad, my parents placed me aboard the small spacecraft.
We'll never see him again.
It's the only way, Lara.
I hate so to part with him.
At least he'll live.
Jor-El. The quakes are coming closer.
Everything's ready. All controls. Countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7.
Hurry!
4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition.
Goodbye, Jor-El.
Goodbye, my son.
Happy journey.
My son, live.
As speed increases, time expands, slows down. And as I traveled across the billions of miles of space at speeds faster than light, I grew only a very little. By the time the small spaceship entered the solar system, I was still an infant, unable to talk, unable to walk. Soon, the ship entered Earth's atmosphere and plunged to the surface on a small farm near a village named Smallville. I don't know how long I lay there, perhaps for days, until I was finally discovered.
Hey, Martha.
Need something, Jonathan?
Come here, Martha. Look at this thing.
What is it?
Well, I'd reckon it was a rocket ship.
I'd reckon the same, Jonathan.
Somebody's idea of a practical joke, I guess, or a publicity stunt. Let me get this consarn thing open. Well, I'll be.
It's a baby.
Baby boy.
You think he's a Martian, Jonathan?
Heck, Martha, why, just look at him. Just as human and cute-looking as any baby I ever did see.
Oh, he's such a darling, Jonathan. Just what we always wanted, but never could have.
Now, don't get your hopes up, Martha. You know we'll have to take him to the foundling home.
We could adopt him, Jonathan.
Only if the home passed on us, Martha. We'll see. Maybe.
Have you made any decision yet, Doctor?
You've got to realize, Mrs. Kent, that the Smallville Children's Home will have to make a thorough investigation before the boy is passed on to you for adoption.
Of course, Dr. Thomas.
And we'll make every effort to locate his real parents first. Other than that, I can only say he seems to be a healthy baby. Very healthy. Yes. Goodbye.
Doctor, look at this.
What is it?
It was a toy truck. I gave it to him this morning.
Did he throw it?
No, Doctor. He just mangled it in one hand.
Now, nurse.
Not only that, look at this hypo needle.
It's broken.
I tried to vaccinate him just a little while ago. The needle won't penetrate.
Impossible. It must have been a bad needle. Here, go back and try it with this one.
Dr. Thomas, come in here, quickly.
What's going on?
Look!
What's he doing up there?
He's flying.
He can't be.
He is. Just look.
I don't believe it.
Neither do I. Let's get out of here.
Nurse!
Doctor, you're so pale.
You don't look so rosy yourself. Look, get the kids on the phone. Tell them they can have the child and to come pick him up right away.
Of course, I was very small then, and a lot of it I don't remember. It came down to me in stories told by my foster parents, but as I grew, I began to sense the powers within me. One day, walking home from school alongside the railroad tracks, I heard the whistle of an approaching train behind me, and I began to run, just for kicks. At first, it was just a lark, but as my strides lengthened and my pace picked up, I began to notice I was keeping up with the train. Putting on a burst of speed, I went ahead of it, past it, and got to the crossing in plenty of time. And I wasn't even out of breath. As time went on, I found out a lot of things about myself, about things I could do that others could not. But never was I allowed by my foster parents, my new father and mother, ever to think that because of these powers, I was better or smarter or in any way greater than other people. They told me I was lucky. That's all, just lucky. And I guess I am. And when my father took ill and he lay in the hospital waiting for his final day...
I don't have long, son. And there's one last thing I must say to you. You have amazing powers. Superhuman powers. Use them wisely and well for the betterment of your fellow men. As a bulwark against evil. And hold fast always to the principles of justice and truth and honesty and fair play. Always. Promise me.
Denny?
Huh?
I didn't mean to be so long-winded.
Heck, I could listen all day. I mean, gosh, I mean, you know, that's some story. I mean, gee.
Look, I've got your skateboard fixed, but you've got to promise me.
I know. Not in the city streets, I know.
Promise?
Promise.
Good. Now, let me give you a ride home.
Up in the sky?
Up in the sky.
Let's go. Up and away.
I dropped Danny at his home, changed my clothes, and spent the rest of the day at the Daily Planet as Clark Kent. Later that afternoon, Lois told me a young boy was waiting to see me. Of course, it was Danny. Come in, young fella. Have a seat.
Thanks. So you're Clark Kent, ace reporter.
That's me.
Boy, have I got a story for you.